Hello and welcome to Raw Rants, your podcast where we talk about all the stuff that happens right at the intersection of life and business. My name is Stefan Thieringer and I am your host. I'm an angel investor, I'm a serial entrepreneur, I'm a dad, I'm a fool, and a heart attack survivor. Connect with me on social media. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I have a website. Or connect to our community number at 617-313-2827. Let me know what you think about this episode or any other episode you'd like to chat about. Give me some of your thoughts. Let me know what you'd like me to talk about. Let me know how I can help you. My name is Stefan Thieringer, your host here at the Raw Rants Podcast. Grateful you're here and we're ready for the next episode. Listen in. Here we go.
Folks, welcome, and new friends, welcome, and old friends, welcome back. There's that ooh, and you know you're back at Raw Rants. My name is Stefan Thieringer, and I am so excited to bring you today an interview with someone who I'm going to take away from you for a quick moment, and he'll be back in a second. He is a motivational speaker. He is a 3C testicular cancer survivor. This guy can tell a story about recovery, the power of community, the relentless commitment to self. He can also talk about the people you lose and you gain in the process. When I spoke to him the first time, holy shit, what a load of positive energy this guy has. We're going to talk about encouragement and spirit. One of the things I asked him right before we came on here, I said, what do people describe you as? He says, people describe me as no fluff and no bullshit. I'll tell people how it is. Him and I are brothers in cardiac arrest. Probably never, ever anybody has said that. But with my heart attack and his personal journey, that is something you definitely want to listen to. He's got a few things to say here. And I'm so honored to have him with me today, and I'm staring right at him. Matt Odie, welcome, welcome, welcome. So honored to have you here.
Thank you, Stefan. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be on here and just share my message, my experience, and story to your community today. So thank you.
I love it. So thank you again, Matt. You had, I threw so many things out there at the beginning about what describes you, who you are. But the one thing I was left with after you and I spoke about a week ago was your incredible positivity of energy, which I think even when people just go to your website, which by the way, guys, is mattodespeaks.com. So it's MattodeSpeaks speaks.com. So when people go there, I mean, just your whole persona that comes across, it's just all about, it's about hope. It's about positivity. It's about energy. It's about being impressionable in a positive sense to other people. Talk to me about that a little bit and share with us wherever you want to start. You know, maybe that's the time to talk about your journey a little bit, what made you be who you are, or some of the pivotal moments in your life.
Yeah, the whole reason I'm like getting on podcasts and started this whole journey is because I know that every single one of us in life is going to have some type of challenging experience. You know, I pray it's not cardiac arrest. I pray it's not cancer, but we're all going to have something mentally, emotionally, physically, relationship, spiritually, whatever it is. And what I found is our greatest opportunities, our greatest purpose, our greatest, direction in life comes after we've overcame traumatic or difficult experiences in our lives. Yeah. And a lot of us, that's what my goal is to help people say, hey, listen, whatever you're going through, me being a Christian, God does have a purpose for you, and, whatever you might believe in. But for me, I just know that whatever you go through, there is a big, massive purpose. There's a big, massive reason behind your vision. So for me, I've went through a lot, going through cancer, going through multiple surgeries, being in a coma. I mean, we'll talk about all of that today. But for me, really, it's more about my experiences that I want to share and the lessons I learned along the way. Because at the end of the day, your greatest asset is your time and your energy. And it's how are you spending your time and how are you spending your energy towards positivity or towards negativity in life. And I always have this little saying that I learned kind of along the way in my journey with cancer. And that is, everything in life happens for you, not to you. And here's what it means. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to always have this grand like life and everything's going to go perfectly. But what I do mean is we're all faced with challenging situations, but how are you going to deal with that challenging situation? Are you going to say, why is this happening to me? Meaning, become the victim of the situation. Have a why me mentality. Let it control you. Make excuses. Or how is this happening for me? Change your mindset and change the direction of your life. It allows you to learn through the experience. It allows you to grow through the experience to help you become a better version of yourself. And then guess what? You want to know where your ultimate happiness comes from? Comes from giving back and helping others. The only way you're going to be able to do that, Man, is to take care of yourself first.
I love it. I mean, so many things, they so resonate with me, right? It's like there's this little shift off versus I have to do something versus I get to do something, right? It kind of speaks to the same thing what you're talking about. And this serotonin, oxytocin, leadership juice that runs in our blood in terms of the chemicals and neurotransmitters we have, and looking at the world of being of service and being impressionable in that context. First of all, I want to say I'm glad you're here. Meaning, you had quite, from a medical standpoint, you had just an incredible, incredible journey. When I first read it, I was like, oh my God, it's like you think you're at the end of the tunnel and then there's something else. It's not the end of the tunnel. There's a train coming your way and it's another train and another train. And do you mind sharing a little bit about that journey? Because I think it'll help people understand kind of the hardship on a very spiritual, personal way you've been through. And put really what you do today in such a larger context.
Absolutely. So I'll give you like kind of a five-ish minute version of it, and we can go into detail into whatever area you want with it. So I'll kind of give like my whole 5-10 minute version, and whatever you want to dive into, just stop me and we can dive deeper into that part. So yeah, of course. So for me, I'm 29 years old now. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. And you know, I always start off my journey of actually when I met my now fiance, but at the time, you know, girlfriend. And it was St. Patrick's Day, and it was a very, very important day. And you'll understand as I go along with my story. So we meet on St. Patrick's Day. You know, a couple weeks, couple months goes by. We start dating and we're doing all these summer activities. And, you know, me being I was 24 years old at the time. It was in 2016. And personal trainer, extremely healthy, working out every day. And then all of a sudden, I started to notice these like back pains. And, you know, for me, anybody in their 20s, you know, just shrug it off and you'll be just fine. It's probably from lifting 6 days a week, whatever. As weeks go by, it gets worse and worse. I'm barely able to walk. I'm barely able to do anything, but I'm just so stubborn. And finally, one day, I'm over at Lauren's house and I end up puking up blood. Get rushed to the emergency room. They find out that I had lost 2/3 of the blood circulating in my body, which is equivalent to being shot with a gun. They had to immediately give me 6 bags of blood, rushed me into an emergency surgery. And that next day, they thought it was an ulcer that was causing the bleeding. But unfortunately, I wake up and my doctor's in the room, and he comes over to me, sits down, and he goes, Matt, we found an 11-centimeter tumor in your small intestine. We know it is some type of cancer. We just don't know yet. And we have to rush you to the main campus of the Cleveland Clinic immediately, which is you know, one of the best hospitals in the world. And good thing it was only 20 minutes from the local hospital I was at. So for me at the time, Lauren, who's my fiance, I had not shared the news or anything. It was just me and my parents in that room. And that was that moment where I felt like I needed to be strong for them. I felt like I needed to be strong for a lot of people. And I held in a lot of my emotions. And this is one thing I want to really share with people is, especially you men out there, we're not great at sharing our emotions. I'll be the first one to say it. We are just not that good at it. Yeah, we're not great at it.
And you're being kind. Yeah. When you say we're not that good at it. We really suck at it, guys.
We are terrible at it. Yeah. And women, this is why we need you in our lives, because you're the ones who can allow us to express ourselves. And for me, for about 4 or 5 days, I was going through all, you know, I had to get ambulance to the hospital. I was in the ICU room. I was getting test after test after test. And every time I just hold in those emotions, it was more baggage. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more you hold in your emotions, the more underlying emotional, mental health issues you will have in life, such as, you wonder why a lot of people, you know, have anxiety, a lot of people have PTSD, a lot of people have depression, is because they feel like, especially us men, that if we share it, it's a form of weakness. It's, we're vulnerable. But remember, your most, the most important thing to do is share your vulnerability, because that is how people can relate to you. I'm not saying you have to be on podcasts like me, but start with one person. And for me, I was finally able, when, you know, I finally saw Lauren in person a few days later, I just remember opening up and just crying. And I was just like, yeah. I needed to let it out. And it was one of the best things that could have ever happened for me. And so that's my advice to a lot of you men out there, is whatever you're going through, find somebody you can know, like, and trust. And do not be afraid to share with what you're going through, because it will relieve a lot of the stress, a lot of the pain. So right after that, that is when they found out that I had the highest stage of testicular cancer. The cancer had spread all over my body. And how they track your cancer, at least for my testicular cancer, they have what's called an AFP marker. It's basically a blood tumor marker. You need to be below a 5. So below a 5 means you're pretty much like, you're fine, you're in the clear, there's nothing, there's no cancer. I was at 75,000. So it just puts things in perspective. I was off of their charts. They couldn't even have me on their chart anymore. So I had to go on what's called BEP, which is very intense chemotherapy, lasted about 3 months. And I went through 5 rounds of it, lost my hair, was super fatigued, everything. You know, chemotherapy, anybody who knows somebody who's gone through chemotherapy, you know that it beats the living hell out of you. And there were days I couldn't get out of bed. There were days that I just couldn't do anything. But those are the days, I'm going to tell you right now, the days that you can't do anything, the days that are like, you are just beat down, but yet you say, I'm going to still get up and try and do like one thing at a time, just focus on one thing at a day. Those are the days that make you stronger. It's not the days when everything's going right. It's the days when everything seems like shit has hit the fan, and yet you still don't give up on yourself. You just don't give up. And that's my biggest thing, is say, I will quit tomorrow. When you say that you're ready to quit, say, maybe I'll quit tomorrow. And then guess what? The next day, say the same thing and keep on saying it, because guess what? You'll just keep pushing forward. And it's like that famous saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. I truly believe that a compound effect of small daily habits lead to massive results in your life.
100%.
And that's what I had to do through chemotherapy. I had to say, maybe today is just getting up and walking a quarter mile, or getting up and, you know, eating a little healthier, whatever it was. So whatever part of your journey you're in, I would say, is focus on one thing. Don't overcomplicate yourself, and just don't put too many expectations. Like, if I don't get to this destination tomorrow, you're not a failure. Just means you have to pick yourself back up and try again. Failure, every failure leads you to eventually a success in life. You aren't going to get success without going through failure. I'm going to tell you that right now. Every no gets you closer to a yes. And that failure is feedback. Just remember that. This is my last sentence. Failure is feedback. When you fail, it allows you to learn and obtain what you've gone through. So I go through my chemotherapy. I get through it after 3 months. You know, I had a lot of ups and down hurdles. My 3-year-old puppy passed away in the middle of my chemo, because he was diagnosed with cancer, absolutely mentally destroyed me. I had an unexpected surgery, all of these, you know, crazy things. But what really was the tough part of my journey was after chemo. So I sat down with my oncologist. And he goes, Matt, we see the 11-centimeter tumor has now shrunk to 3 centimeters. I go, awesome. That's great news. And he goes, but it's wrapped around what's called your inferior vena cava. And your inferior vena cava is basically a central vein that goes from the bottom of your upper body to your heart. We're going to have a 12-hour surgery with 4 surgeons involved. And we have no idea what the complications are going to entail. So I get the surgery done. 12-hour surgery. And going into that surgery, I was probably close to about 140 pounds. So I was 185 pounds before all this. I lost about 40, 45 pounds during chemo. Coming out of the surgery, I was close to 200 pounds. My body basically shut down and it started to swell up. Well, a week and a half out of the hospital, my body goes into what's called compartment syndrome. Totally shuts down. My kidneys, my liver, everything. I get rushed to the, back to the Cleveland Clinic, and they had to drain 7 liters of fluid out of my stomach. So they basically cut me open from my left hip to my right hip, and they had to drain 7 liters of fluid out of my stomach, causing me to go into complete kidney and liver failure, having a cone drilled inside my head to relieve potential brain swelling, I had a catheter in my chest. I had a catheter in my neck because they thought I was going to be on dialysis the rest of my life. And I ended up falling into a 2-week non-induced coma. And, you know, long story short, I ended up being in the ICU for over 40 days. I was in the clinic for over 53 days, 2 weeks or a week out of my coma. I went to cardiac arrest. They went to go take out one of the catheters in my neck, and I had what's called an arrhythm heartbeat. They had to do 8 minutes of CPR on me, bring me back to life, and I fell into another 1-week coma. I had 5 major surgeries in 30 days. The last surgery they did on me was called an open wound surgery. My stitches unexpectedly bursted open, and they had to completely open up my stomach, and they couldn't close me back up because my skin couldn't grow over it. So I had a football sized wound over my stomach that took an entire year for my skin to eventually naturally heal. And I ended up dropping down from about 200 pounds to about 110 pounds in those 53 days. No food, no water, all liquid IV. And I had to completely relearn to live my life again, from like laying in my bed to taking my first steps again in the ICU. Took about a 2.5-week process with 4 nurses every single day in there. And man, it was a journey to say the least, but I knew that in all of this, God had a plan for me. And I'll share a really powerful story of faith, and we can go into detail in any of this part that you want. But when I was in my coma, you had my parents and Lauren, who just, they never left. They would stay in the ICU room every day and just be with me. And Lauren would come over every day and she'd hold my hand and she'd pray for me. She just prayed for healing, prayed for me to wake up. While my mom, very faith-based, held 3 prayer services, local prayer services, where I was told hundreds were at the churches and thousands around the world is what they told me were praying for me. And right in the middle of the last prayer service, while Lauren was holding my hand, while she was praying for me, while people were praying for me around the world, was the moment that I woke up from my coma. And she felt my hand start to wiggle. So she rushed over to the doctors. They didn't believe her. They came running over. They started to see my eyes open. And I think that was God saying, Matt, this isn't the end of your journey. This is just the beginning of a brand new chapter and a greater purpose I have for you in life. And I want to ask you guys, are you in a rock bottom situation right now? Because if you are, it actually might be the best thing that ever happens for you. Because guess where the only place you can go is when you're in rock bottom?
Is up. That's right.
And that's right. A lot of the times it allows you to reevaluate your entire life and say, you know, it allows you to say, hey, you know, what's this new chapter that I'm going through? What is this new direction I may need to be heading? And this is the kind of starting point for me. So really powerful story, though. After the 53 days, I was released from the hospital, and I was released on March 17th of 2017, exactly 1 year from when me and Lauren met. I know that's not a coincidence. I know that she was like an angel sent down for me. So yeah, man, that is kind of like my journey there.
I love
it. You know, the recovery. Wow. Yeah, we can talk about recovery and all that, but that's kind of where it was at.
You know, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. And again, man, I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks.
You say this so lighthearted, you tell your story, but there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of reflection. There's a lot of strength in it. There's a lot of disappointment. I won't call it failure, because like you, I think failure is one of those things which I always tell companies, create a culture of failure. And they look at me, what are you talking about? Well, a culture of failure means, you know, failure is good. We tolerate it. We invite it. We want you to fail because that's how you learn.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, one of the things that's very clear to me, and I want to talk for a moment about it. And thank you again for sharing this in so much detail. When's the wedding date, by the way? I got to ask that question now.
Yeah. So I proposed to Lauren July of this year, and our wedding date is September 24th. You want to hear a really cool story? I proposed to her on my parents' anniversary. We weren't planning this, by the way. Proposed to her on my parents' anniversary. And we're having the wedding on September 24th, which is her parents' anniversary.
I love it.
When they got married.
So that's next year?
Next year. Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. So September 24th, 2022. That's a good date. That's a good date.
It is.
11-24-22. So, but one of the things, I mean, you talked about community, and one of the things I want to say to everybody listening here, guys, I don't care if it's God, if it's Buddha, whoever you believe or what you believe in, there is such a thing. And I'm very, very fond of that conversation and the fact of that there is a higher power somewhere. It doesn't have to be just God or whatever else. And I grew up Catholic. I was an altar boy. I grew up in Germany. And so I went to church every Sunday myself. So I have, naturally some spirituality around that. But I think that's a big, big part. But a big part you talked about also is the community around you, the power of community. And I know when you and I spoke, we talked about the power of the community of your doctors, of the nurses, the people of your family. I'm sure Lauren and her friends, the people around the world that you mentioned in terms of who knew your story and were invited to, celebrate the recovery of your life. Talk about community and the power of community a little bit, because I think that's an important part, right? You talked about vulnerability. Yeah. You talked about, as guys, we're really not very good in sharing, our emotions, our feelings. And that makes us, literally, it makes us sick at times because we're holding things in and we feel society requires us to be these strong guys. And guess what? Yeah. You don't always have to be the strong guy. Mm-hmm. And while you made this journey with strength, at the same time, there's moments of where you need support. And one of those support functions comes out of community.
Yeah. So I have two different descriptions of community, and I'll share the first one. So if you look in the background here, this is me and Lauren. It's probably hard to see. I'll see if I can move my camera a little bit. So let me get my, this will be really cool. So tell me if you can, can you see me still?
I can still see you.
Okay.
So if you're just listening, guys, we're going for a walk in Matt's office right now, and we're looking at the pictures on the wall, which is so awesome.
I'm going to try and get it. Yeah, I've never done this before, but this is really cool. Let's see if I can get it here. So this is literally, I'm going to share the story about this, but this is called Mustaches for Matt. So this is what happened when I was done with chemotherapy. So this is me and Lauren, by the way, doing a race together. So when I was going through chemotherapy, what had happened was let me plug my computer back in. I ended up losing all my hair. So obviously, and as you can tell, I have beautiful red hair. So I decided to keep on this dirty mustache. It was really bad. But all my friends, especially the guy friends, are like, okay, we're not going to obviously mess with him. He's going through cancer right now. So they all decided to grow mustaches throughout all of my chemotherapy. It was so cool.
So mustache, one of those right here.
Yeah.
Up here. Yeah, one of the ones when you see them, like as a joke, right? Between guys, we call them porn stashes. One of those?
Oh, yeah.
Good
one. I was worse than that, man. I was I can't even explain to you what I was. It was real bad. Oh, it was good. People would look at me. Yeah. The only thing that people the reason they didn't make fun of me is because I think they knew I was going through cancer or something. So, but it was really cool. So we had everybody growing mustaches throughout this journey. And when I finished chemotherapy, my dad goes, "Hey, Matt, I want to host, an event. It's going to be on Thanksgiving morning. Most cities around the U.S., they host what's called a turkey trot. And it's like a 5 or 10K race. A lot of cities do it. And, you get a lot of people that come to it. And we're just, my dad's like, okay, let's just invite some people. We have no idea how many people will show up, but we'll get a bunch of T-shirts and we'll call it Mustaches for Matt. And I was like, okay, that's a cool idea. And the very first year we did it, back here is the third year. The very first year we did it, I was expecting, maybe 50, 60 people. We had over 300, or it was either 300 or 400 people show up on Thanksgiving morning in 32 degree weather. Girls grew fake mustaches. Guys had their real mustaches. We all had T-shirts and it was so cool. And the race coordinator even knew about it. Like he recognized it. He was like, oh my God, what are all these T-shirts for? And, ever since. So we've done it year after year after year. And now this year, I will be hosting, 2022, I'll be hosting my own 5K where I'm bringing charity, or it's basically a charity run, and all proceeds are going to a young adult cancer organization. And, it's just super powerful. The cool part about this, and I want to get to community part, is I did not know probably half the people who showed up that day.
Right.
But it goes to show that I want people to know this, that you have so much more support in your life than you ever could ask for. Like literally, if you just ask for help, people are there and willing to help you. It's absolutely incredible.
It is so true. I mean, I get to experience that through some of the groups I'm involved in, everything from soccer to, and here goes the puppy. She wants to say hello. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, from soccer to groups I'm involved in, speaking groups and others. And it's just been such an interesting moment for me, even though, I mean, my story compared to your story is like non-existent. I mean, I had a journey that was, you know, 2 weeks long, and it kind of from there on went back to, I don't want to say normal, but it went back to, you know, normalizing versus you had a journey for a year that was just absolutely unbelievable. And so there's obviously a very different power behind it. But I think, as you said, you know, community, the connection there is such an important piece. Let's talk about for a moment, because I do hear, and I want to talk about this for a moment, because I'm sure some of our listeners feel some curiosity around this as well. You talk a lot about, you know, the power of God. You talk a lot about spirituality. How has the belief and the respect and the power of God, without making this a too religious conversation, but nevertheless, something that you hold on to spiritually that gives you power, that gives you strength, how has that helped you through your journey?
Everything. I'm going to tell you right now. So that part was a 1 year journey, but the recovery part was another 2 year journey. And now this part of this journey is me, like God, for me, God has given me a purpose. Yep. And what he's allowed me to do is, I'm going to tell you right now, when you go and do something scary with your life, this is where I was talking about the second part of the community. When you go and do something scary or different than your family or your friends are used to, they're going to question everything you do. It's not that they hate you or anything like that, but they're going to question you. They're going to ask, why aren't you just going back to your normal life? Like, why aren't you? I get the question all the time, Matt, why don't you just go back to who you were before cancer? Right. Why don't you just settle down? And I go, because God's given me a purpose. And that is the power of having faith, is when you
100%
are going towards something in your life, it is you and your faith. It's you and God to start off with. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the only two people you're going to have in your life, is you and God. And that is the power of my faith right there. And whenever I would go through, whenever I go face something extremely scary in life and it's uncertain, that's where people stop. When they say it's uncertain and they don't know what the outcome's going to be, they say, I don't want to face that potential outcome, so I'm just going to take a step back. No, no, no. You got to trust in God's process for you. Go over, because on the other side of maximum fear is also maximum opportunity. Other side of maximum fear is maximum opportunity, maximum growth, and maximum breakthroughs in your life. So that's where my faith comes in.
I love it. I love it. And I think that's everybody listening, or if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, I think that is that's such a lesson, right? I mean, that sentence you just said last, you know, on the other side of maximum fear is maximum opportunity. And I think the way we talk about things, we talk about, you know, you talked earlier about the things happen to me. I'm the victim, making excuses, why me, and all the pieces, and shifting that energy just by starting the shift of energy and the way we talk about things. I think that's such an important piece. I know in the journey of your ongoing, you know in the recovery journey, wherever we start that moment or wherever we are going towards, and I know for you, you're in an ongoing process. You've met a lot of people, you've trusted a lot of new people, you had to trust a lot of new people, but you also have decided some people in your life need to go. I know we spoke about that a little bit, and some people, you know, they serve us, and some people, there's some toxicity and some influence in life that may not serve us, or we just realize, you know, some people stay for a lifetime, some people stay for a period in our life. Some of those experiences that you can share maybe as well to help people. And I want people really to be able to say, oh, interesting, there's maybe some parameters I can apply in my own life that help me to decide, do people really belong in my life or not?
Absolutely. So I had all the support in the world when I was going through cancer. It's easy to, and I don't mean to make this sound terrible or anything, but it's easy to support somebody usually when they're going through like a near life death experience. But when somebody says, okay, now I want to like do something that might be bigger than somebody else's like vision of themselves, I think that a lot of people take a step back and question, like I said, question and doubt you, because they're like, I can't see it in myself. So how can he do it? And a lot of people, I will tell you right now, most people in life need to see something before they can believe it. Mm-hmm. Where an entrepreneur or somebody who has this big vision will believe it before they can actually see the real outcome in life. And that's where I found out that, hey, listen, I still love my friends. I'm still great friends with almost all of them. But going out every single weekend, drinking, talking about, you know, high school glory days, or gossiping, or all that we want to do is talk about our fantasy teams and things like that. Don't get me wrong. I do all of those things still a little bit, but it's way less.
Yeah.
And I needed to say, who are the people that are going to talk about the future? Instead of when I say, hey guys, I want to change the cancer community, and all my friends are like, oh, well, how are you going to do that? You're going to keep posting on social media, blah, 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 this. And I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm going to keep doing that because that's what I need to do. So you need to find people in your life that are going to help uplift you. And I'll tell you exactly how I did this. I'll tell you step by step how I found the right community. Yep. I started with YouTube videos. I said, what is something that is meaningful to me that I've either overcame or that I'm passionate about? And I started watching YouTube videos. And then when I would find like a person that I resonated with, I would dive into their community. So I found a guy, his name's Ed Milet, entrepreneur, super motivational. And he had this podcast and it was called Broke to 400 Million. Just caught my attention. I was like, okay, this is cool. I just want to watch it. Literally none of it was about money. It was all about the shit that he had to go through to get to where he is today, where he was so broke, his water shut off, where he was almost ready to get a divorce, where he was all of this crazy stuff back and back and back, but yet he never gave up on himself. And I was like, whoa, this is what I want to do. Like, I went through all this stuff. Now it's time for me to do this. And I said, okay, well, what's the community that he's doing? And you just started a business mastermind group. I said, I need to get in this somehow. Joined the mastermind group, built incredible connections. I was deathly, literally 3 years ago, deathly afraid to share my story. Like, I would be shaking talking right now to you. But then I started sharing it on a Facebook group, and because people would come up and be like, hey, so what's your story? Or they'd ask the next person, what's your story? And I would share my story. Like, I wouldn't talk it, but I would just share it on like a Facebook like copy or something. And like, you went through all of this? And I'm like, yeah, like I'm not like shrugging it off, but I'm like, yeah, I went through all of this. I don't know what to do with my life. I'm like, you need to start speaking or doing something. And they gave me the courage. They gave me the confidence. And that's what you need to do. Find people that will do that. And then I started going into other groups and I started building more connections and more connections. Yep. The more connections you can build, the more, you know, the endless opportunity you have in life. So that's kind of exactly how I did it. I found somebody on YouTube that I liked. I literally dove into their community. I started connecting with those people. And then from those people, I started connecting into other communities. That's it.
I love that. I think that's such great advice. Tell us about, I mean, you were, before you went through your journey, you were a personal trainer. Everybody who is into fitness, training, discipline, you know, commitment to self, from a personal training standpoint, that obviously also plays a big role in that respect. How did that influence you, and what's left over from that that has helped you? And is that still something you do today?
Yeah, it was a massive part of my recovery. I'll tell you that. Like being, I mean, I, like I told you, I was lifting 6 days a week. I was counting my macronutrients, which is your protein, carbs, and fats. Like I was so on point with all of that. And then like all of a sudden I just got hit by a train basically. But when I was 110 pounds, having to learn to walk again, I got out of that hospital. Getting out of that hospital was not like rainbows and butterflies. It was like, I have to literally spend the next year of my life focusing on me. You know, there's that famous saying, in order to be selfless for others, you must first be selfish for yourself. Yeah. For 2 years, I didn't help anybody else. I focused on me first, because in order for me to help others, I needed to take 100%. Care of myself. So yeah, that's where health and fitness really played a big role, was staying disciplined with one small daily action every single day, saying, what do I need to do? Like I picked up a 5 pound dumbbell. This is where I started. I picked up a 5 pound dumbbell in a wheelchair and I started to do a bicep curl. That was my workout for the day. Then I would put, like when I was home, I had lawn chairs in my driveway and I'd put them like 10 feet or 15 feet apart. And well, I would, and my parents would, and I would walk to one sit down for 30 seconds or a minute, walk to the other. The next day, I'd move it just a little bit further and a little bit further. It's a game of inches. It's all it is a game of inches. Every day, you're working on bettering yourself, you know, and that's where the health and fitness came into play for me.
You know, I love this. I mean, I talk a lot about monomaniacal focus and things like you don't compete against anybody else. It's like just today, do your best, and then tomorrow, try to beat the best of yesterday, which is your personal best. And it's not about competing. It's not looking about, you know, anybody else. It's you against you. And I think one of the greatest sports there, I always think about, and I'm not a great golfer, but I think golf in particular is one of those things where you realize very, very quickly you're not competing against the people you're playing with in your group. You're playing against yourself. And I think that's the example in a related matter you just said. You know, it's about how do you extend your horizon to see where you want to go? And you get to kind of challenge yourself there on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Don't ever compare yourself to someone else. It's you versus you, man. Don't ever comparison games to worst thing you can get into.
I love it. Matt, how do people best connect with you? Where do people find you? Yeah. I know your website is Matt Speaks.
Matt Ode Speaks.
Matt Ode Speaks.com.
Yeah. MATTODE Speaks.com. So really cool. So I, last year, almost exactly a year ago, built a Facebook group for cancer patients and survivors and caregivers, people impacted by cancer. And I'll tell you right now, I was deathly afraid to share that too. It took me 3 months to build it because I had so much self-doubt. But once again, community and the right people influencing you to do something helps and faith. So today we have almost 6,000 members in the group. 1 year later, almost 6,000 members. And it is literally like the most supportive family I can't even explain it. So if someone watching on here has ever been impacted by cancer, know somebody.
100%.
All you need to do is go to my website, mattodespeaks.com, and I have all of my social media tabs on there. I have my Facebook, my Instagram, my YouTube channel, and I have LinkedIn. Go to my Facebook. As soon as you get to my profile, literally all you have to do is click on my profile and it'll give you a direct link to my cancer community group, or I can give you a link if you ever want to share it. So,
Let's do that. I mean, let's make sure we put that also up on our website and we share it in social media and we'll get that from you. Guys, if you're listening, mattodespeaks.com, MATTODE speaks.com, and then click on all his social media links. I got to tell you, one of the things, and I'm glad you mentioned it, the community, years and years and years ago, I think I shared this with you, the Open Educational Resources for Cancer. Open education was a big, big, big thing for me and still is today, in impacting people by, you know, without having the privilege of being able to afford education, but the right to education. And I think the community of cancer survivors, but also I think the extended community of people who are supporting people who go through cancer and being able to educate yourself, what to expect, what's the journey the patient goes through, but also what's the journey as yourself you're going through in being able to best support somebody. I think it's such an important piece. And I think the invitation from Matt's side to join his Facebook group, 6,000 people, there's some resource, there's some power, there's some strength in that community. That's fantastic. Guys, we're talking today with somebody who is a cancer survivor. We talked about recovery, the power of community, a relentless commitment to self before you actually can make an impact to others. We talked about encouragement and spirit. We also, one of my favorite quotes, Matt, you said today was, things in life happen for you. Stop being a victim. We all get why we sometimes go there, but maybe let's make less excuses and let's ask less, why me, and let's turn it, you get to versus you have to.
Yeah.
Another piece, Matt, that connects us is Cleveland, Ohio. I spent some time there. I think I shared that with you. So hello to Cleveland. Yep. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to send your family and all your community lots of love. I want to hear about this 5K charity run. We got to stay in contact because, hey, we may just show up in Cleveland and run this thing together.
Let's do it.
Also, send gift on September 24th, 2022 to Matt, because that's when he gets married to Lauren. Matt, any final words, any final thoughts for us today?
I'm going to leave you guys with a really cool acronym, and that is HOPE. Help one person every day. Don't ever underestimate the power of helping one person, because it will compound into helping thousands before you know it. So HOPE, help one person every day.
I love this. A very, very good friend of mine, my best friend of mine from Germany, actually, he gave me, when I went through my recovery journey, he gave me a cup. I don't have it on my office desk right here, but it's a porcelain cup for coffee, and it says on there, HOPE. And I got to tell you, now I'm going to look at this cup with this acronym you just gave us. I'm going to look at it in two different ways. Help one person every day. I love that. Pay it forward. Be of good influence. Serving and supporting. I love that.
Yeah.
Guys, we're out of time for today. That does not mean this is our last conversation with Matt Oady. And that shouldn't be your last conversation with Matt. Go to his website. Go check it out. I'm going to say it one more time. I feel like a marketing guy now. MattOadyspeaks.com. I'll send bills out later, Matt.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it.
But check him out. He also speaks at events. So if you are an event planner, if you're somebody in corporate and you're looking for somebody to bring an unbelievable amount of energy into the room and make people think and reflect and move forward, that's your guy. My name is Stefan Thieringer. I'm your host here at Raw Rants. Immensely grateful you were all here. And as the song says, out of time, go check out Raw Rants. Follow us wherever you get your social media and your podcast fix. We're on all major platforms. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Connect with me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Or just send me a message. If you are somebody who wants to be on our podcast, let me know that as well. Or if you know somebody who would make a really cool, inspirational guest here on the podcast. Matt, thanks again. And there's only one thing left for us to do, and that's this. Matt and Stefan, out. Running out of time, caught up in the light, sucking up my mind.